Today is the day the Lord has made, and I am thankful and glad within it. And these are the times in which God has decided we will live. I've been saying for a year now, we've got unique sets of responsibilities because of the times in which we live. So it gives me just a great thrill to welcome to the program two moms who are taking on the responsibility of defending sanity and defending kids and trying to get the schools reopened and the woke masks off of kids' beaks. Tara and Rachel join me from the Sumner Bonnie Lake area. And by the way, this tale, you're going to hear this all around the country. Folks listening around the country, this is going to sound very familiar to you, but pay attention to what these parents have done. Rachel, I first learned about you. Let's start with you and this effort. Let's just talk real quickly about how this group came together to try to force the hands of Sumner and Bonnie Lake to reopen the schools.
Yeah, we decided as parents, there were a lot of us that were concerned that our kids weren't going back to school and there was no plans in place. And we weren't getting the communication from the district that we wanted. So we decided to start a parent group and said, hey, you know, if you want to fight for the kids and what we want, kids need an education and teachers are essential, just like grocery store workers are essential. And we were like, let's get this started. Let's try to communicate with the district and get the kids back in school. They're suffering mentally. The depression rates, the suicide rates, like that felt like it was just completely being ignored.
Yeah. And it was, and I've seen some of the correspondence. I want to get into this as we unfold our discussion. You were not met with open welcome arms by the Sumner and Bonnie Lake School District. I've read some email exchanges with Lori Dent, the school superintendent. It's my understanding she refuses to even meet with you in person.
Yeah, we've been asking. We decided after a couple months of emails individually that weren't being answered, we decided to get the group of the admin together on behalf of the growing group and start really pressing for an in-person meeting or to be involved in the board meetings, being able to speak. And basically we've just been shut out and told this is the way it is. And we can't do that. We can't do this when other districts around the area are making it happen with their board members and their leaders. And we're thinking, well, if it's possible for the school district next door, why isn't it possible for us?
Yeah.
And it's just opened our eyes to the leadership and what are they really doing? And are they really advocating for the kids or for the unions and the teachers?
And this is what I wanted to get into, because as we unfold in the interview, I want you to tell the story about the magical selection. You guys were suddenly on this group that was going to look at a strategic plan that turned out to be maybe not so strategic. I also want to get into this incredibly spooky letter that was sent to the wrestling parents that basically says you as parents have the responsibility to agree with all the so-called public health officials. So we'll get to that as well. Tara, you're also a member of the group and you come at this with a unique perspective. I understand you're an EMT in your community. So I've been watching the same superintendent of public schools in your area, our district superintendent, Lori Dent, who doesn't have time to meet with parents, but has time to post that parents need to get their kids immediately injected with these mRNA and these other injections. So what's been your experience in this, Tara?
Well, I get to see it firsthand. So being a firefighter paramedic for, almost 15 years now, you saw it from the start, from over a year ago with how everything was progressing and the learning was taking place and how the treatments for it and even how to prevent one from getting it.
Yeah.
But none of that was actually talked about.
So you're talking about vitamin D and zinc and sunlight and ivermectin and these other therapies, hydroxy and these things. And so you're mentioning the sort of these things, even just the naturopathic stuff was not discussed, right?
None of it. No. Even just your basic, you know, eating healthy, getting enough sleep, exercise, you know, how 80% of the ones that actually did die from it were over obese and they were all vitamin D deficient. So of course, you know, that doesn't come out, but when it came to our kids actually going back to school and all the slogans that were developed over this last year of, you know, we're in this together and we have to be safe. And, you know, in order to get back to normal, we need the vaccine. And they were even showing videos in elementary classrooms of how viruses come about and then how vaccines came about. And at the end of the video is how everybody must get this COVID vaccine in order to be safe and to get everyone back to where we were before. And I mean, I called the district and I explained it is not the job of a teacher to educate my child on an experimental drug. And the district slowly tries to push the narrative that in order for everyone to be healthy and back to school full time without masks, that's what needs to take place. And even with getting kids back into sports, they're requiring a COVID test each week. Yeah. But not if you're vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, even though they do not, they have varying levels of any ability to impart any immunity. I mean, we're getting a bunch of people who are getting the COVID after these injections, so much so that the CDC now wants to stop counting people who get the COVID after the injections. Tara, I want to come back to you in a second. I want to talk about your experience as an EMT and a firefighter now meeting patients who've had side effects from these injections, even as the district is trying to force these in on your kids. And Rachel, I wanted to ask you about the mask usage. I saw a video of a coach. He's a track coach in Oregon at a high school there. He had a player, you participate in it, a runner collapse while participating in a track meet. And he said, I'm done pretending these masks, you know, don't cause hypoxia in kids, et cetera. And you've also been talking to the districts of Sumner, Bonnie Lake, or that combined district about mask usage. And how's that gone for you?
Yeah. My first experience is when my son was going back to school and football was opening back up, and he has a documented heart condition. And I messaged him on what the letter from the cardiologist would need to say for a waiver, assuming I would definitely have a waiver because lack of oxygen caused him to go into AFib. So, you know,
wow.
I'm thinking, okay, well, what do I need to get this letter before I see this doctor when I see him in person? And then they proceeded to message me back with, they would need an article proving that it wouldn't be a good idea to wear masks during exercise. And I'm thinking, okay, so a cardiologist writes a letter would not be enough over an article from the health department.
Right.
So I was just baffled. I was like, okay, so because it's not voluntary, because sports are, you know, a voluntary program that we can choose not to do it if we don't want to wear a mask.
Right.
So it goes down to, again, like, who's making these decisions for our kids? And me being comfortable with what my child is wearing a mask with a heart condition, I'm not comfortable with that.
There's insanity. Yeah, they are. And Rachel, there's layers of insanity to this. There's no recorded instance in contract tracing of anyone catching the COVID outside. I just read an estimate this weekend. You would need to breathe in someone's face for about 6 hours outside in order to be able to transmit to them the COVID. Then there's also this. This is a literal statistic I can share with everybody. In fact, if you want my COVID fact sheet, Alex, put COVID fact sheet back into the show sheet. Text Todd 800-465-8770. Here's a fun fact. People between the ages of 20 and 40, older than your son, are more likely to die playing football than from the COVID. Your son between the age of 15 and 24 is more likely to die falling downstairs, 150 more times more likely to die from the flu, good old fashioned influenza. None of this makes a dent with the Sumner Bonnie Lake schools. They don't even want to hear it. Is that what I understand?
Yep.
Nope.
All right.
And I even had sent an article because they wanted an article of proof from the World Health Organization, literally states that athletes should not be wearing masks during sports because of hypoxia. And that wasn't good enough.
It's incredible. All right, we're going to do this. We're with Rachel and Tara, two heroic moms with a group of other parents fighting for sanity in the schools. This is happening all around the country. We've interviewed women who have taken over the school boards. After the school boards got scared and ran out of the meetings, they seized control of school boards in Arizona and Denver. Maybe we can do that here. We're going to check traffic with Right Way Traffic. We're with Rachel and Tara from Bonnie Lake Sumner. I know that by heart. My friends live there. In fact, I'm betting, Tara, we have a mutual friend on the fire department. I won't say it out loud. So, Tara, you're an EMT and a firefighter. You have been for a decade or so. You're watching Lori Dent, who earns $190,000 a year as the school superintendent, will not meet with you. Will not call an in-person meeting, has said, in fact, has suggested you are threatening her, and we'll talk about that. She is promoting these injections. And Terry, you were telling me that in your career as an EMT firefighter, are you seeing responses that people are having negative responses to these injections for COVID?
Oh, absolutely. I've had to transport patients out of some of the in vaccination sites due to side effects, you know, whether it was a paralysis or a blood pressure issue or chest pain. It happens every day. I mean, they have to have a nurse on site and a medic unit on site for those that have any sort of reaction to the drug.
What's the worst you've seen as an EMT is that you consider to be a reaction to these COVID drugs?
Oh, well, I mean, that would be a cardiac arrest.
A heart attack.
Yeah. Well, if a cardiac arrest is when they definitely, their heart stops beating and they stop breathing. You don't always know the cause, of course, but when somebody is getting a vaccine and they were healthy prior to that and don't take medications, it's pretty quick to go, was this cardiac due to the fact that they just received an experimental drug?
I'm reading about a case in Salt Lake City, a varsity basketball player in perfect health, young man. He got the Johnson & Johnson COVID injection. And as I understand it, he developed 6 blood clots in his brain. And thank God is out of the ICU, has been returned to his family. And thank God is doing well. I just talked to a friend of mine who is an epidemiologist and an academic MD. And he stated categorically, he said, absolutely, parents would be insane to inject a 17-year-old or younger, that the risk reward ratio on this is completely out of whack. But I don't even think that we're allowed to say that now, parents groups. And Rachel, I wanted to talk to you about this, that the wrestling coach, I guess, in an effort to get the to get reopened, sent out this letter you've shown me, and we'll put that on the show sheet as well. People can see this, that he states that wrestling families have to like feign agreement with the so-called public health officials, that their job is to support them. Is that correct?
Yep. We got that letter from a parent who's on the board that helps with wrestling. And she's in our parent advocate group, and she advocates for the no masks and what, just everything that's going on. And she was basically told, I think because of her, that you either agree with the district because we've worked so hard to get these kids back into sports, that you just basically shut up and agree.
Oh, right. So if I'm hearing this correctly, you have the wrestling coach, and I wrestled in school. I loved it. My pastor was a big time wrestler. I loved the sport, but I hear them saying, to get our sport back, you need to pretend to agree with us. And then I see your friend Tara, and Tara's an EMT. Tara, are you prepared to pretend that you're not seeing these adverse reactions to these injections?
Oh, I don't pretend. No.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't strike me as either of you pretending. All right. So this effort to get the school board to meet to get your employee, Lori Dill, to agree to meet with her employers, that's you guys, that's fallen on deaf ears. And then I see that Lori Dent, she's apparently decided, Rachel, that you guys are threatening. Is that right? All right. Yep. So let's talk about that.
She in the letter, the responses that we have gotten, basically she said, this is not a time for divide, that you're trying to divide the community. And
she also said, but or divisive and threatening, right?
Yeah. And it's because we really have pressed on with writing every day because we're not getting heard. And it's like, what else do you do if they refuse to meet with you? All you can do is document and write letters showing that we are very active in wanting to be a part of our decisions with our kids. We want to build a relationship and support the board, but they're basically just shutting us out, giving us answers. This is the way it is. And nothing else. No talk of open board meetings. I mean, people have been so creative this year with COVID. Like, you're telling me you can have sports on a field and you can't get a podium and a microphone outside and hold a meeting if it need be. If this many parents, we have 400 people in our group now and it's growing by the day. So this many parents want to meet and they want to talk. We're tired of getting letters. We just want to talk. We want to know. We want our voices heard. It comes down to this. It's really a time for all the parents to come together that have been disenfranchised or shut out or not taken seriously or not heard, whatever the case may be. Whether you agree with our movement or you don't, you know, there's some things we agree with teachers and some we don't. But at the end of the day, do you want the teachers and the government to decide what's best for your child? It really comes down to that. It's pretty black and white because it feels like our parental rights are being taken away. Like, we have no say other than
it's
pull our kids out of the district, which it's that's such a hard decision when you have kids in sports. And
the citizens of Washington State had an opportunity and did attempt to do away with this ridiculous, disgusting, and this is on a different topic, pornographic sex ed that's been brought into the schools, which is unbelievably disturbing. That was shoved down parents' throats. Critical race theory is being shoved down the throats of parents. I mean, it's not like your parental rights are being taken from you. They are being seized from you. And I would ask you this, let me ask you this, Tara. I see Lori Dent is very proud of her PhD. It's in of her signature lines, right? I imagine I'm shocked that she didn't want to pick your brain as a first responder, that she didn't want to come to you and say, well, Tara, I'd really like to learn. So did she ever say, hey, maybe you could help me understand as a first responder what you're seeing with hypoxia and injuries from these injections? Has she ever even asked a curious question of a fellow professional?
She's not once asked a question to us in any regards. And in all of the letters, I provide all sorts of statistics and facts. I mean, when we have parents coming to us telling us their children don't get mask breaks because for whatever reason, the teacher didn't provide one. I explained in my letter, these are the signs and symptoms of hypoxia. They are more apparent in children. And I provide all of these things for her. And it took me even having to send and pay for a certified letter to get a response back from her. And I have just now responded back to her letter and have yet to receive another response. And she just refuses to meet with us. I even sent one just to our board. Okay, let's take Lori out of the equation. Let's just go straight to our elected board members and ask them to meet with us. And they won't respond. They won't call us back. They won't email us individually. And when they do email us, it's a, copy paste. We'll send out the same response to every person. And in order to input into a board meeting, you are only allowed to send in your email through an audience online comment form. And that is how participate.
It's phenomenal. And just to put this in the light of the real world, just try that with your boss. These people work for us. Next time your boss says, hey, can you come and meet with me? Say no. And just see how long that lasts. Or and you wouldn't do this because you're professional, Tara, but God forbid Lori Dent would ever have like a bad burn or something, nothing life threatening. And you could be called to treat it. And you could just turn to her and say, well, Lori, what should I do? I mean, you're the expert. What should I do? Rachel and Tara been with us, Bonnie Lake Sumner School District. What is the name of your group so people can jump in and parents around the state, around the country can learn from you? So what is the name of your group?
Sumner Bonnie Lake Parents.
Okay. Take a stand. Sumner Bonnie Lake Parents Take a Stand.
Sumner Bonnie Lake Parents Take a Stand. So you're branding experts too. I love this. I love this. All right. Obviously there's going to be trolls that, come and go, and you guys have put together a powerful group of parents, 400 strong. As a parent, I just want to tell you, I'm so very thankful for what you're doing. I know that you're both, also work full time and have businesses, and Tara, for you to speak out as a medical professional, I'm so very thankful for both of you. Anything you want to add before we get up? We got about like 30 seconds left. Is there anything I should have asked and I didn't? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. See, because my title says PhD in radio interviews. So, all right. I appreciate you guys very much. Todd Herman's show will continue after we check traffic with Right Way Traffic.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. That's me. Thank you. And producer Alex, thanks you, because without you, there's none of us on this part of the team. I want to return to something that is going to be, it's going to be a big focus of the show. And that is dealing with how the left is psychologically programming people. I know. Oh, you're going to say it's they're doing psychological operations on people. Yeah. Yes, politics is psychologically operating on people. It is. Politics is psychology. It's the process of persuasion. It's the process of seduction. It's all of these things. It always has been. From pure evil to, you know, from Hitler's pure evil to Stalin's pure evil to the questionable medieval of I think Woodrow Wilson was a pretty evil guy, not on the level of a Hitler or a Stalin, but a fairly evil guy. It's always been about psychology. I mean, there were people who were very interested in governance. The founders were very interested in governance. They understood human psychology in terms of what humans need to thrive and to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. They understood those aspects of human psychology very well. They also understood the psychology of people who want to rule over others. Not govern, but rule. So the founding documents were written with respect to psychology, in respect for psychology, the psychology of the would-be tyrant, and the psychology of the would-be citizen, not subject. It also took into account world history and what had worked and what had not, and it took into account some pragmatism. You know, to form a union, they made a terrible sounding sacrifice, the 3/5 of a person. It's a terrible thing. Black people have always been people in whole. God created all the colors, all the melanin levels, all the cheekbone heights, all the differences in eyes and hair. God created them and said, it's good. This is good. What the left has done is simply taken something that politicians have always done, and they've taken it to an absurd level. Now, it is, for those of us who are conservative, we are not easily herded. This may be the biggest difference between us and the left and people who fall for the psychological tactics of the left. The psychological tactics of the left are to wrap things in pseudoscience. So global warming stopped working, so then they called it climate change. When that stopped working, they called it climate catastrophe. When they decided that their donors in Big Pharma wanted to purchase kids, they weren't having enough, you know, not making enough money off of kids, they and the sexual left came together to invent a word called transgender, which means I feel like I don't like my body. That's what it means. I feel like I'm actually a woman when I'm a man. That's what it means. Doesn't mean anything else. What it means to Big Pharma is, hey, cool, we get to shoot kids up with drugs. And what it means to Big Medicine is, hey, cool, we get to chop them up with surgery. And what it means to the left is, hey, cool, we have kids who are going to grow into adults who are going to need us for their very identity. They wrap these things in pseudoscience, just as they wrapped the pseudoscience that's the founder of Planned Parenthood used. Right? That's sort of racism. Eugenics. That was pseudoscience. Just like they took the pseudoscience of feeling the bumps on people's heads or the sizes of skulls or the shapes of skulls. Well, they're not fully human. Look at the shape of their skull. Absolute hogwash. Now, of course, there's differences in the size of people's skulls. Of course, there's differences in how people feel about their bodies. Has been for time immemorial. But what they understand, and this is what we need to understand. There's a great special. It's not even, well, it was a special. I want you to hear part of a test that National Geographic ran. By the way, National Geographic is as ascientific as they can be. They've completely bought into the party. But back when they cared about science and explaining things to people, they set up a scenario where a woman showed up for a free eye exam. And she walked into this room, and everybody's in the waiting room, and there's something weirder that went on. As she's sitting in the waiting room, a tone goes off. And all the people in the waiting room stand.
This woman thinks she's here for a free eye exam. What she doesn't know is that everyone else in this room is working for us. Today, we're running an experiment on social conformity, and the test starts now. Did you hear that? These people sure did. It doesn't take long for our test subject to notice a pattern. Beep means stand up when it comes to peer pressure. All too often, your brain is just following the crowd. Okay, now she's alone. The crowd is gone, and nobody is watching her except our hidden cameras. What do you think she'll do? She's now conforming to the rules of the group without them even being there.
Now, you see how long it took her to stand? And what National Geographic explains is that sometimes survival means going with the herd. There is a safety in numbers. There is a, well, they're all headed that way. And of course, they'll say that's evolution. I'll say it's adaptation. It's psychology. This is so inbred in who we are. Unless we're ones with a distinct refusal to be ruled psychologically or otherwise. That's a major difference between us and the left. We are not people who are going to be easily psychologically ruled. That's why we're the ones without the woke masks. That's why we're the ones asking questions about the mRNA injections. That's why we're the ones looking at the odds of dying from the COVID flu at our ages, individual health statuses. We're consulting the actuarial tables in this. We're making a different judgment. I'm not going to be shot up with the mRNA. The challenge that we have as a society is, what about the people who are standing up because it beeps? Now, there are maybe 20% of people, if that, who believe, for instance, that a man can be a woman. And yet, beep, they say it. There are very few people who believe that cops wake up in the morning to go kill unarmed black men or young men. And yet, beep, they're asked about it, they say it. Our challenge in this portion of society is to find the ways to say to people, do you really believe this? I think the way to do that is to ask questions to the point of absurdity. There's a technique in business where you're trying to get to a mission statement. It's called the five whys. You go five levels down in why. So if you're founding a business, let's say you're founding a business, you say, I want to found a business that is non-pharmaceutical approaches to medicine, non-invasive approaches to medicine, and I want to have a big location where all these things are available. Why? Well, because I think people need alternatives to mainstream healthcare. Why? Well, because I think mainstream healthcare has become corrupted. Okay, but why do you want to be the one to fight it? Why are you going to do this? Because I can't stand seeing people harmed. You're getting close. Why can't you stand people being harmed? Because people don't need to be harmed to get good healthcare. Now you're there. We're going to found a healthcare company that delivers care with the minimum of harm. In other words, going back to the Hippocratic Oath. That's what you're going to do. That's your mission, to return the Hippocratic Oath to healthcare in application at scale. With people who are falling for this, this series of whys. Why is it that a man can say he's a woman? Why is it that only white people are racist? Why is it that every time we see someone who's telling us to wear a mask, they're not. Why is it that every time you compare the data on mask usage countries to non-mask usage, there's no difference? Why? 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 Get down to the five levels of why. For example, why is it that a man can be a woman? Well, some people are born that way. Why do we treat that differently than people who are born who are anorexic and don't like their bodies? I mean, I have trouble going past that why. Well, there's no science for that. Why don't we use methamphetamines for them and tummy tucks or shortening their intestines? Well, that's radical surgery. Why is it more radical than cutting a boy's penis and testicles off? Why is that more radical? Yes, people are going to be uncomfortable. But you can't come out of a hypnotized state without discomfort. And again, politics has always been the art of seduction, the practice of scaring people, the invention of an enemy, the war that never ends so that you can keep people divided. All the left has done is they've amped that up to 11, just like the guy from Spinal Tap said. Don't even look at it. It goes up to 11. Why don't you just make 10 louder? Idiot! Idiot! They just turned it up. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. All right, that's a very special episode of Just a Few More Things. No, this time Ricky Schroeder is not joining us. That was weeks ago when we talked about that happening. No, today I am going to turn this completely over to my producer and friend and partner, Alex Overall, to see if he can give a go at this. So in 3, 2, 1, I'm going to shut my hole and I'll interject just to give on the spot sort of recommendations and reviews. We'll get started in 3.
Put me in,
two,
coach.
1.
All right. Hey, welcome to the show. This is a little segment we like to call
Just a Few More Things.
All right. For those of you new to the game, it is a quick arrangement of news-like items in sequentially ordered fashion, and sometimes it follows a theme. Now, I loved politics when I was in high school, and I was always involved, but I didn't always listen to radio, and there are some conservative voices that you need to support and follow. So, without further ado, let's start with
Thing One.
All right, now this is an independent journalist. He actually claims to be on the middle, on the fence. His name is Tim Pool. And he reported on a recent big story with the Olympics.
So the majority of the athletes saying, we don't believe it is appropriate to have this kind of messaging. We have seen people tune out of major league sports. They don't want to watch it anymore because there is this creepy cult-like social justice narrative permeating many sports.
Oh, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the people like Colin Kaepernick kneeling and LeBron James having all sorts of political stunts related to Black Lives Matter incorporated in their sports. And the Olympics doesn't want to have any of it. Unfortunately, the Olympics does want to continue to support the lie that men are women and women are men, when that is not true, and they're having the Laurel Hubbard. What's this person's name again, Todd? Laurel Hubbard, right?
Laurel Hubbard's a legal name.
Yeah.
Previous
okay.
name was Gavin Hubbard.
Gavin Hubbard, right. Gavin Hubbard. That's right. Correct. Right. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, that story just still gets me going. Anyway, let's move on to Thing Two.
Thing Two.
Wait.
Whoa, what's going on? What's going on?
You forgot to pay it off.
What do I pay it off?
Lauren Hubbard. Purposely, Gavin Hubbard is a man who is being allowed to steal Olympic medals and
wait from Samoan women.
Right, from women of color. So just to pay that off, Tim Pool covered that. That was what Alex was talking about. It is outrage about Gavin-Lauren Hubbard, a non-entity in male lifting, but a world record setter in women's lifting. All right, I'll shut my mouth. Alex, go back to just a few more things.
Thanks, Todd.
Thing Two.
All right. Here's a little update on a piece of conservative media that you need to support.
What you're about to watch is an animated show that teaches kids to stand up for freedom. Hollywood will never make this, so we're crowdfunding it without them. Here's an early look at the first episode.
So, we have covered this before. I showed it to Todd. It was a Facebook ad, actually. It's called the Tuttle Twins cartoon that features kids. It's meant to be educational, talking about the value of freedom, the value of open markets, free markets, all sorts of conservative values that are being vilified in modern mainstream schools. And that's something that I would support. I'm going to definitely consider donating to this crowdfunding campaign.
Okay, let me give you some feedback. It's never consider.
I'm going to.
We want to explain our background, our research, how we arrived at that.
Gotcha.
We want to have good, solid opinions. So
let's try
that again. Alex, you're going to do what with Tuttle Twins?
I'm going to support, and I am going to have you support as well, audience.
All right, there it is.
Moving on to thing three.
Thing three.
Here is another conservative woman talking about important issues.
We can't solve the epidemic of unarmed black men being shot by police if it isn't actually an epidemic. And the real major causes of black deaths, poverty, and suffering go completely ignored because they are uncomfortable conversations.
Now, that is a piece by Lauren Southern. It's actually the postscript to her documentary called Crossfire. It's important that she talks about this. It's important. Now,
Is she a Tuttle Twin?
She's not a Tuttle Twin. Why do you ask that, Todd?
Well, because you did Tuttle Twins, then you did Lauren Southern. I'm just trying to keep track. So her movie's about, the Crossfire is about, I'm assuming, black-on-black violence.
Yes. Yes, it actually covers a lot of a broad spectrum because the BLM incorporated movement is inconsistent often in their arguments. And so what she's doing is investigating these situations of police brutality that have been told in the media and then coming to conclusions. What about black on black crime? Why is it an argument in conservative media? Why is it so hated as an argument in conservative media? She covers all this in her movie Crossfire, and she also has two other documentaries. One is called Borderless, which talks about the southern border, and another is called Farmland, and it is about the crisis in South Africa of white farmers being persecuted in the country. It's a really important issue. 2 years back, it was... Go watch and share it. All right, let's move forward.
Thing four.
This is Fleckus Talks. He's one of my favorite YouTubers right now because he's a very unopposing person. He's very not intimidating, and he goes up to people and he just asks questions. And sometimes he can cause a lot of liberals to slip. This is him outside of a college campus with who's the guy? Oh no, I lost his name. Oh no. Oh no, Todd.
I can't rescue you.
You can't rescue me.
You're on your own.
All right. Well-known conservative speaker at a college campus was being protested, and a radical leftist professor interrupted.
No, we're asking, do you support free speech? That's what we're basically asking.
I don't have to answer your questions. I'm asking you a question.
Yeah, I guess
you
don't support it then?
Of course I support free speech. But there is a difference between free speech and hate speech. I'm sure you're aware.
Do you think there's a legal difference?
That's Fleckus.
I'm not answering your questions. Now you're harassing me. I wanted to ask
you. Well, you approached me.
She walked up to Fleckus and this other man, this other student that Fleckus was interviewing, and she immediately said, hello, I'd like to enter the conversation. I'd like to be a part of this. And she proceeded to say that she was she was being harassed by Fleckus for asking her simple questions. No, asking questions is not harassment. Free speech is not hate speech. I'm sorry, British woman, professor, quote
that's
unquote.
That's my favorite so far. I bet you Thing 5 is killer.
Thing 5 is... Oh. Uh-oh. Thing 5 is great, Todd. You're not going to believe it. Thing 5 is...
Thing 5.
Okay, I may have miscounted the amount of things I need to grab here.
All right, so... I'll submit my grading after I hear from the listeners at 800-465-8770. Give you my grades after we hear your grades on the text line, 800-465-8770.
I'm usually a little more practiced.
No, that's fine. You did it. I mean, look, not everybody can be a talk show host. That's okay. It's okay. I know I brought this up. I surprised Alex with this morning, but sometimes we get surprises. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.